To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't you guys do a turn the page segment
Wednesday? On Wednesday,
it's time to turn the page.
Turn the page Wednesday.
I don't know when I turn the page.
And then you got to turn the page real quick.
We just haven't been able to like turn the page.
That's what you have to do. You got to turn the page.
I think now we all can move on.
Looking ahead to this week's opponent.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Because we need to know when to turn the page.
There I go.
It's Wednesday, and that means we are going to leave the Bears-Eagles game in the dust. And we're going to turn the page, because on the other side of that page is BAM! The Bears and the Packers.
Oh, boy. Turn the Page, by the way, is brought to you by all those delightful little mom-and-pop bookstores all over Chicagoland. Support them. The Green Bay Packers are 8-3-1, a half game behind the Bears. The offense for the Packers is 10th in points, 14th in yards per game, 13th in passing yards. Tell you what, though, folks, that offense, first in third down percentage, third in red zone percentage in terms of touchdowns. They are good in situations. The defense is fearsome. Sixth in points, fourth in yardage, eighth against rushing, sixth against the pass.
Uh-oh.
Third down, you can get them a little bit situationally. 17th in third down, 21st in red zone percentage.
Well, what are they on fourth down, though? Pretty good. Three for three last week.
But here's the thing. That offense also doesn't turn the ball over. Seven turnovers, that's the fewest of any team in the NFL. Of course, the Bears have the most. So look, when Ben Johnson goes to talk about the Packers, you think he's going to talk about the offense. He moves rather quickly to what he clearly fears, which is their defense.
Personnel-wise, they're pretty loaded across the board. You know, you got multiple guys up front that you got to be aware of, starting with Micah. Do a great job moving around, so it's hard to get a beat for where he's going to be. Rashawn Gary's still playing at a high level. And then they've got a lot of depth up there, too. Like you can tell they're really well coached. They do a great job shedding blocks on their front line. With the linebackers, a lot of respect for Quay Walker. He's been doing it at a high level now for a number of years. And Cooper, I don't think that he was healthy when I was calling games last year against him. But he shows up all over the tape. He's flying around. They're matchup issues for your backs and pass pro. You can tell. They bring it. Fast players, sideline to sideline. And then I think these safeties is probably the two best safeties that we've seen all year long. They're extremely active in the run game. They're all over the field. And so we've got a tall task here at hand. And then when you combine it with the scheme, I think Halfley does a great job of making it simple for them, and yet to the offense it can seem fairly complex, and those guys just go out and they play really, really fast, and that's what shows up all over the tape.
I got scared when the coach talked like that. When he got to the safeties, he's like, oh yeah, and then the safeties. I don't think there's a better pair of safeties in the NFL. I don't think it's just the things that they do. He's clearly worried about that Packers defense. Here's Caleb Williams. Does he sound like the coach? Let's listen.
Not only best safeties, but I mean they got a hell of a D line, obviously, that all of y'all know about and probably write about and things like that. But the D line, the backers, number seven especially, their corners of 25 and 24, they've been playing very well. The safeties, like Coach said, are you know extremely talented. So it's a great challenge for us. We got to be focused on the details, and from there we got to go out there and execute the plays that are called, and you know have a certain you know mentality about us when we step on that field.
You know, here's the thing, though, Lawrence. We said it after last week's game, which is, of course, in the rearview mirror. The Bears can run on anybody.
They can, and it's nice considering what the forecast is going to be on Sunday. If you've got a defense that gets after it and a run game, that travels real well. So it's nice to have that in your back pocket. It'll be interesting to see what the Packers try to do to slow down the run game, to try and make the Bears one-dimensional, and then let loose Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary.
You heard Ben raving about the safeties. One of those safeties is Xavier McKinney, the former Giant, and he spoke about Ben Johnson's offense, why it's so difficult to defend.
He's just creative. Like he does things that like the NFL doesn't like. You know, when you get the copycat plays, like, he might do a copycat play, but then have, like, his own freestyle to it. So you might see him be like, oh, everybody do this. And he'll do something different off of that, you know. But in your eyes, when you see it, you're like, oh, I know what's coming. And then they go left field. So I think, you know, that's the, you know, the type of coach that he is. And, you know, I even, like, when he was with the Lions, like, it was the same thing. Like, I remember this one route, they supposed to run, like, a drag. And he act like he running the drag, and he bends it all the way back to the other side of the field. Like, you never really see that happen. Like, anytime you get a cut split, you're thinking he just running right now. He going underneath right now. But just those small little things and tweaks in the offense can, you know, it can be difficult for a defense to defend because it's unorthodox. It's not the, you know, the typical normal things that you see every Sunday.
You can hear the respect and you can hear the extra work that you have to do because of what Ben Johnson does. Like, you have to, you be like, okay, I'm used to this concept, but I'm not used to this wrinkle in this concept. It gives you a window into the level of creativity that Ben is using with simple stuff. It's just a matter of like, yeah, we're going to keep drilling and drilling and drilling and drilling this. And now when we have them thinking that we're going to do this, we've added this wrinkle to it. And yeah. Good luck trying to ask the Eagles.
Sure.
The Eagles saw it all. Wait, I know we turned this page from that.
Yeah, come on.
But they saw it all day Friday.
Texter said, I'm not going to lie, guys. I turned the page the second they successfully defended the 2-point conversion attempt towards the end of the Eagles game.
Which was
game.
Ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
Did you guys bury Nick Sirianni yesterday? We didn't even get to him on Monday.
We did talk a little bit about it. Yeah. Like, and Big Ant is right where I am with it. Like, time and place. I understand why it wasn't the right time nor place to do that.
Hell no. But anyway, yeah. So there's lots of mutual respect around. How about Matt LaFleur? Before his cram hole has been crammed up, he commented on Caleb Williams. Does he respect Caleb? Let's hear it.
He's done a great job. Obviously, he's playing. He's kind of like a magician back there in terms of his escapability. I mean, they're like getting ready for some of these games and watching the crossover tape. Just how he is able to avoid sacks and negative, I guess, play situations has been pretty impressive. He's obviously a very strong guy, and I think he has got great quickness and speed as well. So he's a real threat. He's a real true dual threat kind of guy in regards to his ability to move the sticks with his legs or make those off-schedule plays. There's not a throw on the field he can't make. And I think he's done a really good job of taking care of the football this year as well. So I think he's seen a ton of growth, is probably as much as any quarterback in this league from year one to year two.
LaFleur went on to say, you can tell that he's been well coached by Declan Doyle, the offensive coordinator of the team. You can tell that JT Barrett
really
has really done the work as the quarterback coach. You could tell that Antoine Randall has all the wide receivers, and you're not going to find a better associate head coach than Antoine Randall. You can tell that Eric Bieniemy has really worked with him.
Just to catch any listeners up on the bid who might need it, Matt LaFleur praised the Bears and did not mention Ben Johnson today. Because the pettiness is real, folks.
You can tell that he's drawn inspiration from Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren.
Press Taylor.
Yeah, man. Press Taylor's done a great job coordinating that passing.
And you can't mention Ryan Poles without Ian Cunningham, you know.
No, you're right. and you can tell that he's also been coached up by Case Keenum. I mean, what an addition by Ryan Poles inside that room.
Tell you what, Bajan's been backing the hell out of
to
Caleb.
Have someone like Tyson Bajan to bounce things
the way
off
he's
of.
Out there as a decoy at
it's
times.
It's a game changer.
It's total, a game changer.
Total game
Those
changer.
Are the only people on that offense that I want to thank, though.
I'll tell you what, though. Kudos to Caleb Williams. He's only been sacked 19 times on the year in 12 games.
It's incredible.
It's amazing. And some of that is getting the ball out faster by design and Caleb executing that better than ever these past couple weeks. Some of it is his Houdini-like escapability.
Some of it is him knowing when the defense is won. Most of the season, you're fighting for him to just go, hey, they won that rep, like it's the next one. But you've seen in the last couple weeks him being like, it's not there.
Hey, man.
I'm throwing it at your feet. Let's move on.
His situational awareness has improved dramatically during the course of this season so far. So, look, we got a lot more thoughts on Bears and Packers, but doesn't everybody feel better now that the page has been turned? Here's one text. Okay, I'm with Speaks. I'm scared now.
Don't be scared.
He heard Ben. You listen to Ben talk about that defense. Sounds like Lou Holtz talking about Appalachian State. You know?
Appy State would come up and bite people occasionally.
But Lou didn't mean it.
No, he did not.
Ben, I think, means it.
This is the game in the North, and it's for first place in the North. But there are other games in the North. Starting tomorrow night. This game tomorrow night has implications. The Cowboys have found themselves smack dab in the playoff chase where Jerry Jones is now like, you know, I think our easiest path to getting to the playoffs is to win the division.
Well, yeah, they could think about that. But remember, they're only a half game back of Detroit right now. Detroit is 7-5.
This is what I mean by implications.
The Cowboys are 6-5-1. This is a big deal for Thursday night. Al Michaels gets two relevant games 2 weeks in a row.
How about that? This is what Dan Campbell had to say about things kind of falling apart in Detroit.
I wanted to ask you, over the last week to a lot of people outside, it seems like the sky's falling, you know, the Thanksgiving loss and Ragnow and Kirby and Terrion on IR. Now, do you ever feel that way? And I guess regardless of if you do or don't, like, how do you, manage to put it in perspective after everything that's
yeah, like, I don't think in those terms. I can't. I'm just, that's not how I think. The guys that we have here are here for a reason. We got plenty of talent. We got plenty of good dudes that are made the right way. The coaches are good, and it's really about playing winning football, you know. And it's going to take all three phases, and it takes every guy that we have doing their job. The margin for error is small, but it's doable. We can do it, but we got to eliminate the things that keep us from winning before we can actually win the game. You know, before you start battling against the opponent, you got to quit battling against yourself. A win's always going to set you in the right direction. I mean, that's what it's about, you know, and you can't look beyond the ones that's in front of you. And that's what we have right now. It's Dallas. That's got to be the sole focus, and it's everything that we have. We got to digest this plan, understand the opponent, understand who you're getting ready to face. You got to be ready to win those one-on-ones. What's he going to try to do to you? What are you going to do to him? And everybody's got to be on point. And that's all you worry about. And then you worry about the next one after that.
So the Lions couldn't get Frank Ragnow back on the roster because his hamstring is off of the bone and wasn't able to pass the physical. Amon-Ra St. Brown, here's an update on him from Ian Rappaport earlier today. He says he has not practiced this week. My understanding is this is a 1-2 week injury, so probably most likely going to miss Thursday's game.
but he has not been ruled out yet. You talk with people close to him, and they say the same thing. He always wants to play. I just don't get a great feeling that Amon-Ra will be out there with his teammates. And they lost Sam Laporta for the year. There's a lot of bad that is going on in Detroit. And if you're Dallas, there's been a bunch of good that's been happening. Dak should be in the MVP conversation with the season that he's having, and he's gotten his two best wide receivers on the same page, and they're having fun. Even after that weird suspension, because they might have been out gambling in Vegas too late, those two dudes are balling
right
now. Yes,
they are. You know what's fascinating is the Cowboys are the number one offense in the NFL in terms of yards. Detroit's number three. Cowboys are the number two offense in terms of points. Detroit's number three. So there's a lot of situational stuff that has bit the Lions in the butt, including play calling at precarious moments, which obviously Dan has taken over. But it's not like the Detroit offense has just simply fallen apart. They've been really failing on fourth down, and it has affected the play calling on third down. And they might need to change the identity of who they actually are in terms of that and what they do, which is a pretty fascinating thing to have to think about.
You talked about Drake May, him being the only quarterback in the league that's over 70%. Dak is at 69.3. He's thrown for 3,261 yards, 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
And if they make a big-time push here down the stretch, Dak could overtake and win MVP.
I think that he deserves to be in the discussion for what he's done. I feel like this might be one of those situations where he's offensive player of the year and Drake May ends up being MVP, one of those types of deals. But what he's done, if they're able to make it to the playoffs after everything, how bad that defense was, trading away maybe the second best pass rusher in the league and still ending up in the playoffs, that would be quite a victory for Jerry. Be quite a victory for Schottenheimer and quite a victory for the Cowboys. This game tomorrow is huge. Are we carrying that on Westwood One?
Tomorrow night?
I believe we are. So you can hear that game right here on the Score tomorrow night.
The Commanders will visit the Vikings. Commanders coming off a Monday night overtime thriller of a loss. And the Vikings, well, the Vikings are who they are because...
bad.
Of a guy named Brosmer at quarterback. But who knows? That's happening.
That's great.
Kevin O'Connell is fielding questions from the media, from the fans, and even the children of the Twin Cities have questions for Kevin O'Connell and the struggling Vikings.
Takes from Tots. Toys for Tots. Charlie, where are you from?
Woodbury.
What's your question for Kevin O'Connell?
My question is just that the past few weeks have not gone our way, and I was just wondering, what are you telling the guys, and what's the game plan for coming into next week?
Ooh, we're getting in the weeds.
Yeah, good question. So a lot of the struggles, and we are certainly in a tough time right now. We have not won a game in far too long, and we've gotten used to around here winning games. So what I've been really challenging the guys to do is stay the course, continue to show that we're willing and capable of playing extremely hard, working throughout the week, putting together great game plans, getting these players to understand what they've built here culturally can't just be something we endorse and ring the bell about when we're winning. It's more important to be able to show what we're all made of in these moments where things are tough. Vikings fans want to see their team have success, and we want to bring that energy and that juice to US Bank Stadium this week, and we're playing against a team that also is looking to win a football game and desperately needs to as well. So we're both going to be laying it all on the line, and hopefully we can put together a great game plan for our team, offense, defense, and special teams, and go play a good game of complimentary football, which we have not done lately. And we're learning and seeing in the real time. When you do a lot of things that lose football games, you really don't give yourself a chance to win them. And we've got to get back to doing the things that win football games, which over the course of my time here, we know what that looks like, but we've got to make it happen. And talking about it outside of that great question from you is not going to do much to do it. So we've got to get to work and continue to step forward, step together, and make sure that the best parts of this organization come out when needed, which is now.
the Vikings had not been shut out since November of 2007, and they got shut out 26-0 by the Seahawks this past weekend. Things are bad. Coaches sound dumber when you lose. You know, O'Connell's such a smart guy, but like, when you're not doing things that help you win football games, you're probably going to lose football games. He's right about that.
He's right, and they have not been very good. It's a there's a power struggle seemingly going on up there too. Now, where it felt like those two guys were in lockstep with each other, now there's a wonder if O'Connell wanted to keep the veteran quarterback, either one of them, whether it was Darnold or Jones.
Oh no!
And Kwesi maybe wanted to be like, no, we drafted this guy.
We drafted this kid. He's ready to go.
Let's coach him up, coach.
Let's roll. Come on, you can do this. You're a great coach. Let's go.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Something. Isn't it great that the dysfunction is outside of the Bears organization for once?
It really is. We just need the Packers to have a little more dysfunction.
Well, we'll find out what's going on with the Packers because Packer legend John Kuhn is going to join us next here on the.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
It is cold and it is windy down on that field. 27 degrees, the wind out of the southwest can gust up to 25 miles per hour. We will get snow before the end of the day. 15th play of the drive with a game hanging on it on 4th and 8. Blitz, Rodgers gets out, floats it, Cobb! Touchdown, Randall Cobb! His second of the game.
Joe, the defensive backs sit at the markers for the first down. They're not anticipating that the Packers are going to try to go down the field. Chris Conte, you see it, he's jumping. He settles right at the first down marker, and Randall Cobb goes right by him. Look at the job that John Kuhn does coming over to help get enough, just enough, of Julius Peppers off the edge, and Aaron Rodgers then able to buy a little bit of time. Now on the back end, Chris Conte, as I said, he sits on the first down marker thinking that they're going to throw the ball short. They also could have gotten Major Wright for pass interference on Jordy Nelson, but Cobb gets in behind it. And I got to tell you, Joe, that is not an easy throw for Aaron Rodgers moving to his left. A lot of good things on that play that had to happen for the Packers to come away with a touchdown.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Crowd wants Kuhn to get their wish.
Great choice for a song, Tanny. If you haven't heard, this song is called Nemesis. And that's what we're talking about here. Bears and Packers.
nemesis.
That was rough to hear that particular play from that particular game. But it is absolutely the first thing I thought of when I thought John Kuhn, Bears Packers. And we are pleased to welcome John Kuhn to the show, I think.
Yeah, joining us from our sister station.
But then,
with our buddy Rami over at the Fan in Milwaukee.
Sorry, John. It's a bad memory, you know? It's tough in this town.
What's up, guys? I'll tell you what. When I got asked to come on with our big brother down at Score yesterday, I could have picked out a million different sound bites to come on to, but I never in a million years thought that a Chicago station would play that sound coming into an interview. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. Probably the greatest play of my career, or at least the one I'm known for the most. So thank you, guys, for that uplifting memory on a Chicago station.
All right. Well, it's been great talking to you, John. Thanks, buddy. We'll see you later.
Talk to you later.
No, man, it's like I used to refer to that as the play that shall not be named because it was so ugly. It's 4th and 8, but it's a great job by you getting over to make the block. But the reason why it had to be played, I don't know if there's been a Bears-Packers game since then where both teams have stakes. Both teams are good. Like the Packers are 19-3 against the Bears since that day, since that game in January of 2014. This is a different kind of moment where the Packers are looking up at the Bears, and it makes this rivalry that much more fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm in the minority in Wisconsin. I'm happy that the Bears are. You know, relevant. I'll say relevant right now. I still think your team is a year, maybe even two away from being a top, and you have to fear them in the NFC type team. But they're having a great season so far this year. But being atop the NFC, being atop the NFC North, it makes the rivalry fun again. Many of us that played in that game in 2013 credit ourselves for pretty much the demise of Chicago for a decade, and the run that the Packers have had. We consider that the nail in the coffin game. Julius Peppers later gets released. And when you talk about the game since then, you're right, there's been some games with hype. The 2018 season opener with Khalil Mack's first game, that had a lot of hype to it. The season opener of 19, Matt LaFleur's first game, that had a lot of hype to it. But nothing with the stakes like we have here this weekend, the same very similar stakes that we had in 2013.
Yeah, I feel like the game didn't live up to it, but the opener in 19 is also on that list for me.
Yeah,
the game itself was not very good, but this game is huge. We're late in the season. Both teams are playing well. The Bears are on top of not just the division, but the conference, which is a wild thing to think about if you go back 2 months. So let me ask you, John, what's been, as you look at the Bears, what's been the most impressive thing?
Well, you know, the general manager and the head coach did a good job of communicating with one another and addressing the most important need for that football team, which was the offensive line. I've been a part of the Green Bay Packers for 17 of the last 20 years. And when the Bears teams were really good, when we really had a tough time with them, great offensive line, great defense. That you could always count on that no matter who the skill players were. And I feel like in recent years, the reason why the Bears have struggled is because that offensive line was very gettable. Well, they did a great job in bringing in Ben Johnson to instill that mean, nasty attitude with the bells and the whistles to take a 3-yard run and make it look like a 15, 20-yard run because of the bells and whistles he attaches to it. But that's only as good as the players that you have up front. And they've really fixed that offensive line, one of the better offensive lines in the NFC. They can get after it in a run game, and Ben Johnson has a real fun toy to play with.
One more thing on the context here and the bigness of it. I heard this morning. Only twice since 1973 have the Bears and Packers played a game where both teams are 500. So, like, being this good, that's what's fun. It's like, if you told me this is an NFC championship game preview, I could see that. All right, what's the dysfunction, John, with the Packers? We're hoping there's dysfunction we're not aware of. What is wrong up there? Because the Eagles had dysfunction, and it showed itself. The Bears were the better coached and more unified team. What is the Packers' problem?
Well, I think you missed the Packers' problem by about a month. Yep. It was about a month ago when the Packers were reeling, and people were wondering if this season continues the way it looks currently, Matt LaFleur might not get an extension after this season, and we may be looking for a new coach in the offseason. They seem to have fixed that. They have gotten it corrected. And really what it came down to was inconsistency on the offensive side on the ball. This defense is much improved this year for this Packers team. They have been slowly improving each of the last 3 years. But with the acquisition of Micah Parsons, they are now a premier defense in the National Football League. But a lot of stress was put on them in the middle portion of our season. Even games that the Packers did win, the offense was rocky at best. And it really showed its head when the Packers lost back-to-back home games at Lambeau Field to the Carolina Panthers and the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, which, by the way, the defense led up 16 and 13 points in those games. They seem to have gotten that corrected. Jordan Love is back on par with his wide receivers. They made a couple changes with the offensive line, which is, I wouldn't say made it a strong spot on their offense, but it's not the glaring weak spot that it was earlier in the season, and the Packers seem to have a footing on what they were doing poorly and have corrected it. So I'm going to say to you guys in this one, good luck.
John, how would you describe the impact that Micah Parsons has had?
I'll say it this way. All the Packers defenders that are going to be in the Hall of Fame or mentioned around the Hall of Fame or had Hall of Fame potential, this guy's the best one. Charles Woodson impacted games immensely, but not to the extent of Micah Parsons. Clay Matthews wreaked havoc on quarterbacks, but not with the quickness and suddenness of Micah Parsons. It's just the way he enters the field, the attention that he brings to himself only adds to what other players on this defense can do. I've said a million times, and I made three Pro Bowls, and the number one person I can credit to that is Aaron Rodgers and the fact that I could play in an offense with him because I could simply just do my job. All the pressure was on him, and all the eyes were on him to make the spectacular plays. I just had to do the normal stuff. That's the way everybody else feels out there when they play with Micah Parsons. Let him be the closer. Let him be that outstanding playmaker. We just need to do our jobs and not mess this thing up.
Wow. That's high praise from the longtime NFL fullback, a former first-team All-Pro, Pro Bowler, as well, John Kuhn.
Well, wait, I want to make sure that John doesn't get aggregated. We're taking Reggie White out of that conversation, right?
Yeah. I did not play with Reggie. Okay. I did not cover Reggie. I'm talking about every Packers defender since 2005, and there's been some great ones. Nick Collins, had he not had the injury in 2011, Charles Woodson, obviously Clay Matthews, just to name a few. There have been some great defenders, but none quite like what Micah Parsons does.
So, I mean, if you were going against a Micah Parsons, would you run at him? What would you do? You're on some really good offenses. Would you try and attack that guy with the run? Nobody's listening. Bears coaches, certainly not.
Yeah, we'd probably do the same thing that we did with Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher. One game, we'd run right at him. The next game, we'd make him chase the plays, right? And that's what you have to do in these divisional matchups. You know, playing two games in 3 weeks like they do, you can basically take all your plays, mix them up in a blender, and just throw them out there hodgepodge as you go along, because we're going to get, somewhere around 120 to 140 plays on our defensive side and same with the Chicago Bears. So you're going to understand what the Packers are trying to do defensively, and you're going to have to just account for Micah Parsons similarly to the way the rest of the NFL is, and that's by double-teaming and triple-teaming him at the highest rate of any other player.
But he moves. That's the hard part. He moves all over the place. So trying to figure that out. Like, I wonder if they'll come to the line of scrimmage with two different run plays and then see where he lines up and run the one towards that spot, something like that.
Yeah, he moves around a lot more on third down than he does on first and second. He predominantly plays to the offense's left side on first and second down, so especially in the run game, you should know where he lines up as the Chicago Bears offense cares. So I to me personally, Michael Parsons is just as good in the run game as he is in the pass game. A lot of people nationally think that he takes plays off or is not as good in the run game. If you really watch the impact he has, it's pretty massive.
My guy Chip Help is going to get a lot of plays.
Chip Help is going to be out there with Ozzie Trapillo doing his thing.
And Max Protect, both those
Max
guys.
Max Protect would be another good guy that you should throw out there to try and stop him. I know that where we're at right now, when there are head coaching jobs, people are looking for the Ben Johnson types. I feel like there might be a head coach on your staff, and it's Jeff Hafley. What has he done, and what's he like as a defensive play caller?
Well, he comes in not only with head coaching pedigree at the college level, he also comes in with much experience at the NFL level, many, many years before he was in the college ranks. He spent time in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball. So he understands the game here at this level. He understands what makes these players tick, and he understands how to get the most out of them. Last year, for example, we didn't get the pressure with four down linemen like we do this year. So we had to stimulate pressure by blitzing Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker, which worked out very well for us last year. This year, he doesn't need to do it. So we can play more of that umbrella two shell that you see most teams around the NFL play, limiting explosive plays and letting your playmakers on the defensive line get after it. He can adapt to the players that are playing in the game. He can adapt and maneuver around a game plan at halftime. And he's a tremendously – the guys absolutely love playing for Jeff Hafley on that defensive side of the ball.
John Kuhn, there are 12 teams in the NFL who have a fullback. That's it. It's 12. That's actually –
isn't it a shame?
Yeah.
Isn't it a shame? It's a damn shame, guys. I feel almost as bad as the Bears in all their down seasons, right? The NFL just feels right when the Packers and Bears are both good and play in a game that means something. The NFL is also right when you see a fullback out there taking a piece out of a linebacker's face mask.
So are there any tight ends when they line up at H-back and they make blocks? Are any of them as good as you were at leading a running back?
Yeah, do you know what? We got a couple guys on our team right now that can. When you talk about the tight end Wiley, watch out for Wiley. That guy can block on the move. He does a really good job there behind the line of scrimmage. Tucker Kraft is a pretty nasty blocker himself when they use him in the backfield. Obviously, his season is done for. But yeah, the niche of the fullback. I mean, you might as well call us a stegosaurus because there's not too many of us left.
John, on those Bears teams that you played against, who was the defender that you least liked to deal with one-on-one in an ISO?
Well, there was two of them, and they played on the team at the same time in Urlacher and Briggs. And you might want to ask, you got to pick one? I won't pick one. I won't do that disservice to the other one to pick one over the other. And I can remember later in his career, our scouts used to come in because they give an advanced scouting report every week to the offense and to the defense, and the scouts say what they saw. And every year towards the end of Urlacher's career, he's got a step slower. He doesn't come downhill as hard. He's not a thumper. He's a jump-around guy. And I would go straight to the scouts and say, you guys are full of it. This guy is every bit 6'4", 260, and plays just as physical as he has since he was a first- or second-year guy. So those two guys were absolute animals, and you know that's what made this rivalry so great, is not just the teams that were good, but the respect for our opponents was very, very high. And I thought we had that with the Bears, and the Bears definitely got that out of us.
John, that was excellent analysis. We appreciate getting it. A lot of the listeners are angry and in bad moods right now. I don't think it's because of you.
Why? They're in first place. The Bears are in first place. And I say this all the time. You better enjoy it, because you don't always get to first place. So enjoy the time that you're there, and don't be angry about anything.
I think they're angry at our producer, Chris Tannehill, for playing that play on the way in. That's how I think.
You should watch it. You should watch it on YouTube. There's a Tecmo Bowl version of that play on YouTube. It's hilarious.
Oh, I've seen it.
It's hilarious. Yeah, John, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Take care. We'll talk again down the road.
Good stuff.
In a couple of weeks, we'll talk with John Kuhn again.
Yeah, I was hunting for dysfunction. There ain't none right now.
You know what we should do?
That's too bad.
The next time we get John on, we should get Briggs on.
That's a great idea.
Yeah?
Get those guys together, talk about what it's like to bash each other.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a special show coming up on the Friday before the next time they play.
It's the holiday season.
Yeah.
Spiro Divas told us that.
Not going to see him for a while.
When we come back, why does Ben love his veterans? We'll explain next on the
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gore.
Off the fake, on the run. Hirsch going deep downfield and into traffic. And that is picked by Byard, which if it stands is going to be his sixth of the season. They're going to probably at this point, with the official standing back
on the field,
short of
an interception, first down Chicago.
Now he got it. He got his shoulder down. This is really a summation of the year for the Chicago Bears.
So look, we know how good Kevin Byard has played.
And he leads the league in interceptions.
We also know what kind of dude he is as a leader, and he has been around good teams and seen the culture flip.
You know who's second in interceptions?
And Nashawn Wright.
That is correct.
Listen to Ben Johnson yesterday raving about Kevin Byard, and I think we included the follow-up where he talks about something with the veterans that I did not realize was happening.
You know who's third in interceptions?
No.
Tremaine Edmonds.
Is he really?
Yep.
Still?
Yep.
Man, hasn't played in a couple weeks, too.
6-5-4.
Here's the coach yesterday.
He's incredible. Had a lot of respect for him from afar prior to coming into the building. And it's nothing but grown from there. I mean, he's done a tremendous job taking care of his own business first and foremost. To your point, he's playing at a really high level on that back end, picking up a new scheme. And he's really leading the charge, not just for the defense, for the entire team. I lean into him heavily for just kind of feeling the pulse for the locker room. He knows what winning looks like. And so his voice really carries a lot of weight for everybody in the building. I had a number of guys that I looked at and just looked at their careers and what they've done. And, there's a number of guys like that that I feel strongly about, and they know who they are. We meet on a somewhat regular basis just to make sure that we all see it the same, try to give them a heads up on what the schedule looks like and any feedback that they can give me of where I can better serve them. That's always welcome as well. So, there's a number of guys like that.
So I've poked around. I think that's new information. that he meets with some of the veteran leaders every once in a while and takes their feedback. He makes sure to give them what the practice schedule is first to make sure it works for what the team needs.
Well, this isn't a new idea. This is the leadership council.
Of course.
Right? Like that's what it is.
It's not a new idea, but what's new is the not having the need to tell the world, look what I'm doing so I can lead better. Look what I'm doing because I don't know what I'm doing. No, this is just how a good team can function with a strong head coach. Last year,
I spent Breakfast Club with the quarterbacks.
I mean, last year we were like, God, who's helping Matt talk to people? Because he's clearly bad at talking to people. And then like, oh, they don't have a first 15? God, all right, so there must be a lot more people. Are all nine captains hanging around and telling him stuff? This is they're 9-3. This is new information.
What I think is interesting about it is that usually coaches have someone that they bring along to be that guy in the locker room to inherit someone and then be like, oh, I've got one of those guys. I don't have to make anyone that guy. I don't have to say to Ryan, hey, I need a roster spot for this guy.
Yeah, our fourth wide receiver is going to be my dude from Detroit.
Yeah, like to have it, to be like, oh, one of those guys is already in the locker room and he bought in.
Right away.
Early to what it is that I want to do. Dude. And now I've got that person preaching my gospel for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it hurts in a weird way, because you know I'm not a member of the Bajency. But I don't think that it hurts to also have that guy, too. All the pumping up that let me tell you about Tyson Bajan and the way that he does things. To have someone like that as well that's preaching your gospel, I think is smart business.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I mean, Case Keenum is a guy that he handpicked to come in and do it. But having all those dudes, it's amazing. And Byard buying in and getting it right from the get-go has been a big, big deal. Because now everybody's bought in. Everybody understands it. It's Bears Packers week.
Let's talk about the guy that could cause a lot of problems. You heard John Kuhn talking about Micah.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah. Someone did. We'll get some thoughts on that. And what the Bears are doing really well that may have gotten by you. Our guy, James Big Cat Williams, had some thoughts that we need to share and Speaks needs to hear. Next on The Score.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.